Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island Political Science Professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back the Speaker of the Rhode Island House, Nicholas Mattiello. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Speaker.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
According to our highly unscientific and anecdotal study, public opinion is firmly against the request for a state subsidy for the Pawtucket Red Sox. Mr. Speaker, could you see yourself supporting this request for $120 million in lease payments over 30 years?
Right now, it's not what I could see myself doing or not doing. A proposal has been made. There's been no counter proposal at this point. I am gauging public opinion. I think there is a reluctance to consider that right now. I certainly am sensitive to that. However, I'm a decision maker in the process, so I try to keep an open mind, and I'll await a formal request, all the input from all the folks, and we'll analyze it. At the end of the day, I think most Rhode Islanders want the Pawtucket Red Sox to, in fact, stay in Rhode Island, and I believe that's everyone's goal. But if they're going to stay here, it has to be a reasonable proposal that the public's comfortable with.
Well, the big question is, how do you define a reasonable proposal?
Well, something that makes sense, something that keeps the Pawtucket Red Sox in Rhode Island, where the public is comfortable with the investment they're making. Most public stadiums have some level of public investment, and I'm going to have to gauge the public's input, as is the governor and the Senate president, and will make a decision that most people hopefully are comfortable with. But nobody wants to see the Pawtucket Red Sox leaving. And I believe that there are better offers than the one that's been proposed in Rhode Island coming out of Massachusetts. The question is not whether or not Pawtucket will stay in Pawtucket. They're going to leave Pawtucket one way or another. And does Rhode Island want to keep the Pawtucket Red Sox in Rhode Island or not?
Scott, we hear the speaker saying he's keeping an open mind. How do you see this issue playing out?
Well, I wish we didn't have this 38 Studios hangover, and I want to ask the speaker how much influence that has with some of the reps that you lead on doing something new here.
Unfortunately, Scott, I think you're right, and that saddens me, because as bad as that 38 Studios deal was, and all of us are upset with that, you always have to move forward, and I believe that is a cloud over the public's head, and people are very mindful of that, and people are very reluctant to commit public funds, and that's something that I'm aware of. I know all of my colleagues in the House are aware of that. We all have a responsibility to move the state forward, to make wise investments, and there are a lot of intangibles with this deal that are good for Providence, that are good for the state of Rhode Island. We cannot lose sight of that as a community, and I'm certainly not going to lose sight of that.
Maureen, where do you see this Paw Sox issue going?
I'm not sure, as an outsider, that I buy the idea of that they're going to pick up and go to Worcester. And I think this may be more something of a bargaining chip. What I see is eventually political elites seem to want to make this happen, and I think what'll happen is the principals will sweeten the deal, take a little less, and they'll work it out in terms of the economic feasibility of it. The intangible that I worry about is that once you put a baseball stadium there, and I've seen it's a beautiful layout and so forth, does it fundamentally change the character of the area and preclude the development that we thought of in terms of meditech industries and that? That's my real concern, and it's only, how do you quantify it?
I agree, Maureen. I don't think it precludes it. I think it enhances it. Companies, meds and eds type companies, have young workforces, and they want to go to vibrant, active communities. So I believe, and I've heard, that there are some companies that are actually looking at the stadium as a very positive attraction, which would make Providence a better place to come and invest in. I think for a young community, young workforce, you have to have attraction, and that could certainly be an attraction for the city of Providence and the state of Rhode Island.
The parent company of Twin River unveiled a plan this week to create a new so-called convenience casino in Tiverton, close to Fall River and away from most of Tiverton's population, while transferring the license there from Newport Grand. Speaker Mattiello, do you think this is about the best that it gets as far as blunting the growing casino threat from Massachusetts?
I think it's a very good idea. I don't know if there's ever a best. Gaming is our third largest revenue source, whether you like it or not, and we have an obligation to protect respect that. The folks in Newport were very clear. They voted twice to reject a full-fledged casino in Newport, and we certainly respect that. So now Twin River has to act wisely and appropriately, protect their investment, protect the state's investment and the state's revenue source, and I think this is a very good way to do it. So I trust and hope that the folks in Tiverton will, in fact, support this. We certainly respect their viewpoint on it. I think it's in a good spot in Tiverton. I think it'll serve Tiverton very well. They're citizens. There's going to be a lot of jobs up there. I'm hoping that we get a resolution from them in support of it. That resolution, I've said, will be very well received in the House of Representatives.
Maureen, this is really the first real tangible response we've seen to the threat from Massachusetts to Rhode Island's third largest revenue source. Why haven't we seen more alternatives?
One of the problems, it's dependent on local initiatives. So you just can't do this. You have to get a buy-in from the community. And in a lot of places, it took us 2 years to find out that we can't do it in Newport. That's kind of slowed the process down. So we have to see if we can get over that. The other thing I'm wondering is, given the nature of gambling now, where there's two more casinos in Connecticut and the number of them, four of them in Massachusetts, why don't we give out more licenses in terms of the venues have changed. They're smaller venues, and maybe that's the way to go. But the local buy-in is really the stumbling block, I think, for legislators and elites.
Scott, we like to joke about how Rhode Island has gone from no casinos to yo casinos. Do you think Tiverton will support this?
I think the speaker's probably right. This is the first real proposal we've seen that makes any sense. And the good news here at the start is that Tiverton, on the statewide issue during the Newport vote, I believe it was about 65% to 35%, that community did support table games at Newport Grand. And I think if you sweeten the pie enough and give them, similar to what Lincoln has, if you give them a lot of money for their local budget, for their schools, I think this might help push this through.
The General Assembly has been on vacation this week. When the legislature returns next week, the focus will heighten on Governor Raimondo's budget proposal. State revenues have been running ahead of projections. We know one of your priorities is cutting taxes for Social Security recipients. What are some of the other most significant changes we might expect from the House to Governor Raimondo's budget proposal?
First, let me say that the governor made a good proposal. I'm generally very supportive of it. The House's responsibility is to take that budget and to vet it and to get a lot of public input. And as that public input is occurring, I'm continuing to talk with the governor, and she herself has made some changes to her original proposal. So we'll work on all of those changes together. But I think I've already indicated transportation and books for private schools we're going to restore. And I've spoken to the governor regarding this one, the new state property tax on houses, second homes over $1 million. That's something that she suggested at a time when the revenues were very scarce and the budget was very tight. And, you know, you got to remember she started with the $190 million deficit. I'm hoping that the revenues are there to eliminate that, and you could look to see that eliminated. I agree with the public sentiment that you don't open the door to a new tax because it's just going to expand in the future. So that's something that I'm really looking to eliminate. And I believe, I don't want to speak for her, but I believe the governor concurs with that at this point, and we're doing that collaboratively.
What about the governor's incentive package that she describes as a way to help revitalize the economy? Do you imagine that will be fully funded?
The governor and myself have already had discussions. We have to tighten certain things up, and it's a good proposal that we're going to look to make better after getting some public input, but I'm working collaboratively with the governor on it. I think overall, the idea is very good. The state needs the tools to incentivize investments in jobs and businesses in the state of Rhode Island. The governor is right on track with that and will support her. It'll be one that myself and the governor and the Senate president agree with, and hopefully it'll be as good as it is now or even better. But it's a good proposal.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello.
Pleasure to be here.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.